Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
Wait, what was that?
Take it away, Willie.
Sound like you were saying, like, take it away, Willie.
Anyway. Free Willie. What is it that you say, Cappy, when you do? No, the George Lopez thing that you do.
Medley, man.
Yeah, there it is.
Medley, man.
What? DeAndre, you've never heard George Lopez do that?
I've heard George Lopez.
He says, yeah, you know, everybody's got one smart cousin who works at Target, and the way that this person comes off as being smart is to use the word basically, and he's like,
you know, basically, man.
Shout out to George Lopez. I know he's listening right now.
Shouts out. I love George Lopez.
So do I.
My guy. Anyway.
Jorge Lopez.
No, George. Mm. Take it away.
All right, so law enforcement officials in Southern California are warning their residents and residents across the Southland, I don't know what the difference is there, but to be on the lookout for a spoofing scam involving local police departments. According to a release from the Rancho Cucamonga Police Department, officers have been made aware of a spoofing scam, also known as phishing. Earlier this month, they said that unknown male caller has been spoofing his caller ID to display the Rancho Cucamonga police station's phone number. Mm-hmm. The caller then identifies himself as an employee of the police department and provides a fake name, badge number, and case number. They attempt to scare the victims by telling them that their identity has been used to commit a crime or that a warrant was out there for their arrest. And the idea is for them to get additional information to prove their identity or claim that money is needed to be sent to clear the arrest warrant. So they have sent out a warning that if anybody calls you and claims to be the police department and tries to get more information, call back the actual police department instead of just believing them and giving them your information or, you know, sending them any money, because that would just, you know, that'd be kind of dumb.
Wow. So now people are going to be calling the police department like, hey, somebody just called from there, like, looking for this from me? Because the police department's like, yo, like, we're so busy over here right now. Like, we don't have time for you. That doesn't sound good. That sounds bad.
I mean, if they're telling people to call them instead of believing the person, then that's probably because the police are there to do the right thing.
Mm. I'm worried about identity theft. Today, I was sitting at lunch with a gentleman, and I received a text. And the text was from a little fast food restaurant where, you know, like, when you put in your phone number, they'll text you, hey, your order is ready?
Yeah.
Well, I got a text today from this place. They're like, yo, your order's ready. And I'm like, well, that's weird because I haven't been in there and I haven't ordered anything. So then I didn't do anything about it. But then I thought to myself, maybe I should go in and see if maybe they put in my phone number because they were a number off or something. And then maybe I could pick up that nice acai bowl.
There you go.
But I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So what do you think happened?
Were you there? When was the last time you were there?
Oh, it'd been a few weeks because they ran out of almond butter, you know. So when they didn't have organic almond butter, I was like, I'm not coming back.
I love almond butter. I literally will eat almond butter out of, like, the jar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know, it's good.
It is good.
Can be expensive, though.
It is not cheap.
Especially that brand, Justin.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah. And then sometimes, because my son's name is Justin, I'm like, oh, cool, I'll buy that. And then I'm like, whoa, it's $20 for, like, a jar of,
not
of almond butter. How much is it, $40?
No.
Like $100.
It's not.
I don't know, it's pretty expensive stuff.
It's more expensive than, like, Jif, yes, or, like, Peter Pan or whatever, yeah. Is that peanut
How about
butter,
Skippy?
Yeah.
Skippy expensive?
Too, yeah. My yeah. kids love, which is the one with the, like, the bluish-greenish label.
Yeah, I think that's Jif.
Yeah. No, that Jif is the one with the different colors.
Oh, okay, then it must be Skippy.
Maybe that's Skippy. That's what my kids eat all the time.
They like Skippy peanut butter, huh? It's nice and creamy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they do make the crunchy one, too.
Yeah, I don't really do the crunchy.
Me neither. Although I don't mind it every once in a while, but so it's a jar is like $9.65.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, it does last like 20 years too, though, you know?
Right, because it's thicker than yeah. peanut butter.
I mean, so you could keep that in your pantry closet, and like 10 years later, you go back to it. You don't even have to look
right.
at the label.
You know what I like to do? I like to go and have like a little spoon of the almond butter, mm-hmm. and then like a dark, Trader Joe's sells yeah. dark chocolate almonds.
Yeah.
and you have a you have like a like three or four almonds and like a scoop of that thing.
Yeah.
And you're good to go. So you get the almond butter and dark chocolate almonds together, and you got a nice little snack there.
Or how about a little scoop of almond butter and then a little scoop of Nutella right next to it together? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's good too, but I mean, almond butter is a little healthier than Nutella, so there's that.
I know, but Nutella is so damn good.
Yeah. It's funny. I on my flight to Minneapolis at 6 in the morning on Saturday, Delta just emailed me and asked me what I wanted for breakfast. And usually I go eggs, right? But they offered, like, Nutella pancakes or something
Ooh.
Like that.
Ooh.
And I was like, I've never had that on an airplane before. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with that. I'm going to skip the eggs this time because I'm going to land early enough in Minneapolis anyway I can get eggs later.
Well, just do this for me. So last night we're getting off the air. It's like 6:30, right?
Yeah.
And in the last segment of last night's show, because we got off the air a little bit early because we were going into some of these play-in games.
Right.
The last segment of yesterday's show, I put out on my Instagram, and it's where I showed you my new Lewis Riddick pit jacket.
Right.
You know? And DeAndre, nice compliment when you told me that it was clean. Well, yes, yeah, sir. It was clean. It was fresh out of the box. Of course
fly.
It was clean.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Very clean. Fly is what it was. But we get off the air at 6:30, and George is in the studio watching this Miami-Philadelphia game. Me, I don't really care. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
Well, I also needed to know where I was going to go.
Right.
Today.
So
I mean,
what...
DeAndre came back at 7:30, and I was still booking my travel plans.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you. What happened? Because today, it is my understanding.
Oh, my God, it was so annoying.
Well,
so
you're in Miami, right?
Right, but the game ends, and it's, you know, I got to book a flight for literally the next morning. You know what I'm saying? So it's like... The only direct was not even to Miami from LAX, my home away from home.
Where was it?
It was to Fort Lauderdale.
Lauderdale!
Ooh. Which, as you know, is 45 minutes away from Miami. You
right.
know, it's like going to, or it's like flying to John Wayne. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
right.
You know, and it was just like, oh, come on.
So what'd you do?
So I had to, I wasn't going to connect. Are you crazy?
Well, like, come on.
I wouldn't have made it to the show on time.
I understand.
George,
so you took the direct flight to Lauderdale.
I was going
to
say, I'm not going to lie, this morning before I texted you about like show stuff, like, oh, hey, before we do our chat, I went on Kayak to look up all the direct flights this morning from L.A. to Miami to try and figure out like what time you
Red
were going to get
that
there.
That was the only thing available.
That's crazy.
So wait,
last
so
night,
you,
it
so
was either red eye to Miami or go direct this morning to Fort Lauderdale.
So what time did you leave LAX?
7:30.
Okay, and what time did you land in Lauderdale?
We left on time and landed early, which was nice on JetBlue.
Okay. Oh, JetBlue's great.
Yeah.
How was there none of the Delta flights were available or the American?
No, sold out. It
oh,
was sold.
Man.
I thought about should I book it early and just book like different airlines to both cities and figure it out. And I should have done that
yeah.
to be honest with you because I could have done that like Tuesday and then canceled because you get
yep.
the 24-hour window and it goes right back to your credit card. And it's the corporate card anyway. So what do I care? It's not my money. But the. I mean,
well,
and it's getting put back anyway, so it's not like...
Well, now you know. Next time you got
to
do that.
No, I should have done that because I had to go... And then I got here, and it's traffic time. It's almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was
so it was
worried
like it took me forever to get down here.
I was worried because I saw the JetBlue flight, and it got there. It left here at like 10, but it got there at like 4, and I was like, I don't know. That's cutting it a little bit close.
Yeah. No, we landed early. We landed at like 3-something. So.
Hmm. By the way, when I was flying back, what was that? What day did I come back? Tuesday?
Yeah.
From Charlotte? So I had to stop in Dulles.
Yeah.
And so flying back from Oof. Dulles to LAX, that's normally like a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
It was 6.5 hours because there was a really bad storm
oh,
across
you gotta
the
circle.
Middle of the country.
Yeah,
so we
circle.
Had to go down
go
and
around.
Around.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So so it's funny. I know people hate when we talk about travel, but
no, they
I'm
don't.
Gonna do it anyway.
No, they don't. Who says that?
I mean, the circle of trust.
Oh, really? You guys don't like it when we talk about travel?
They hate it.
Really?
You ask
they don't
all
like
the time,
travel
but
talk?
They hate it.
Really?
You know
yeah.
there are other listeners, just saying.
No, but they're like the P1s. They matter.
I know.
But the reality is, so that DeAndre will tell you, I left at 7:30 from the studio because I was booking all, I had to wait for the game to be over. I think it ended just before 7 o'clock. And then it took me like 35 minutes to book everything because it was so last minute that I had to book, you know, the flight. And then I had to email the travel person at Disney and like, where's the hotel? Where are we staying? And, you know, this, that, and the other. And then I'm like, I got to get a rental car because now I'm going to Fort Lauderdale because I don't want an Uber all the way down to Miami. You know what I mean? Because like, that's going to be, first of all, it's going to be way more expensive than just a rental car at this point. And I hate being driven for long stretches of time because I get motion sickness. So I can do like short Ubers, but I, you know, not like an hour or something. That's too much.
You get
so,
motion sick?
I do. I get motion sickness.
I got it the other night just coming back from the airport, and I've come to the conclusion it's certain cars. Like, if it's an older car with that, like, smell, it's like a smell, I think.
Oh, really? It's the smell in the older car?
No, yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you
like
get
a
motion
car
sickness,
smell.
If you get motion sickness, everything bothers you. Everything is heightened, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, the smell, anything that's a smell that's even remotely strong is incredibly strong. Anyone that has dealt with motion sickness, and if you don't, Cappy, God bless you, because it is annoying as all hell.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. You want to know what's really annoying? Is when you don't have motion sickness and your wife does have motion sickness.
Or your kids or something.
And she's sitting shotgun and you are driving down from Big Bear and you got to go through all those
windy roads. Yeah.
Through the Cleveland National Forest. And you're like jamming and doing your thing and you're like, umbrella, 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 hey, 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 what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm motion sick. I got motion sickness. I'm like, please, give me a break.
Brutal.
It
Come
sucks.
On.
It sucks. And if you've never had it, like...
I know, it's worse for the person that doesn't have it that has to deal with the person that does have it.
Okay. No, it's not.
I don't think so.
Get out of here. It's not. It's brutal. Like, for example, we had a bumpy landing today. And and I was a little motion sick after we landed. And I also didn't eat, like, I hadn't eaten enough.
Did you
throw
up?
That also plays a role in it, too. Like, I was just like, I needed to eat something.
You used the barf bag in the plane?
No, I didn't barf on the plane. No, I didn't barf anywhere. Oh, I just needed a minute. I just grabbed a bottle of cold water, and I drank it, and I felt much better. But, yeah, motion sickness sucks. But anyway, yeah, I was around forever trying to book all the crap I needed to book to get to this game. And then, you know, the stuff to Minneapolis was easy, but it's going to be crazy. Like, I'm literally doing this game tomorrow on ESPN Radio, and you're going to text me what to say in between moments.
Yeah, and I want everybody in the circle of trust to come up with suggestions, because tomorrow – while George is calling this game, okay, me and DeAndre and Lindsay Baseball and then DeMarco Farr filling in for George tomorrow, so we're going to be sending George texts with suggestions. Now, we know Terminal H is going to make it into the broadcast. Yeah. We know when somebody hits a big three-pointer from way deep, that's south-south Miami, okay? But I want to hear from the Circle of Trust tomorrow. What
on more suggestions?
Right. Somebody, what phrases?
With the jam.
Right. What phrases you want?
Yeah,
George
and
to
I don't
say.
Think I'm going to get bad Bam Mamma Jamma in there today.
Why not?
No.
He's a Bam Mamma Jamma.
So the guy who's producing the game,
is he uptight?
Is like he used to be the boss.
Who's that?
At ESPN Radio, John Martin. He was like the boss of events. So I don't want to do that one. I don't want to get too silly.
Okay.
But I'll do stuff like that because he'll never know. Terminal H, you know, south Miami, that's easy. Like, that's just, like, colorful. But, like, if I'm singing, that's goofy.
Okay. Bam, bam, and jamma doesn't work, huh?
Yeah, no. If it was, like, a younger producer who wouldn't know, like.
Right, somebody who was less uptight than this guy.
Well, it's not that he's uptight. He's just, he was the.
Old?
Professional.
Oh, I thought he was old.
He's retired now, but he was the boss on ESPN Radio events.
Wait, how is he retired if he's doing the game?
Well, he still does a few games here and there.
So he's not fully retired. He
comes
partially.
Out of retirement.
Yeah, just,
you know, they need him.
They bring him out for big events. You know?
Right, they need him.
Cool. George Sedano gets the big events. First class.
I don't know about that.
I mean, you do, George. But I'm jealous.
Anyway, the point is I got to go from this game and it's 6 a.m. flight to Minneapolis because I have an afternoon game on TV on sidelines, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, 2:30 Central time, which is the local time, to do a game in Minneapolis. I'm landing in Minneapolis at like 8:50 or something like that.
What's your backup plan?
I got to be at the arena at like noon.
What's the backup plan if the flight is delayed? Because you got to always have plan B.
There is no backup plan, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oy.
There's no backup plan. If that's the case, then Mark Jones is doing the interviews in between quarters.
So you're going to Minnesota.
Because it's not going to be Hubie, that's for sure.
Is it going to be cold there this time of year?
It's going to be like 50.
Oh, that's fine.
Like little
yeah, it's not
says.
Too bad.
Cold like little Minnesota.
And I'm going to wear like a very spring-colored suit.
Oh, I was going to say a spring-colored turtleneck.
No, suit, dude.
No, why don't you wear like a lavender purple
neck? I didn't bring a turtleneck. I already packed.
That's too bad.
Yeah. It's cold there.
Yeah, I know, but it's springtime. We're going like, and it's daytime, so we're going light colors.
All right, listen. Hey, when we come back, I do want to get into what we were talking about at the top of the hour, which is this whole Caitlin Clark thing. I definitely want to talk about this.
Okay, let's do it. But first, let me tell you about Children's Dental Fun Zone, Cappy. Parents all want their best for their kids. Of course you do. I mean, who doesn't, right? So choosing a dentist can be challenging because we all know kids, you know, they don't love the dentist, right? But at Children's Dental Fun Zone. Fun is in the name, man. So, look, it's someone your child can trust, enjoy going to the dentist with, because they make it fun for the kids, hence why fun is in the name. So let me tell you about my friends at Children's Dental Fun Zone. First of all, they have 17 locations across Southern California. So whether you're in L.A. County, the Valley, you know, all over the place, you know, mid-city, they got you covered, basically. You know, you're in the O.C., they got you covered, I.E., they got you covered. You're covered, basically, in Southern California. So plenty of places, 17 locations to choose from in the Southland for Children's Dental Fun Zone. They specialize, obviously, in children's dentistry and orthodontics with state-of-the-art equipment and personal attention your kids deserve. Children's Dental Fun Zone offers a ton of fun for the kids with movies while they're getting their work done, iPads, and toys for your kids to play with while they're there. And for parents, this is important, they accept Medi-Cal, PPO, and HMO insurance plans. So to book your child's next appointment at Children's Dental Fun Zone, fun is in the name, so get on it. Trust me when I tell you, you're not going to regret it. Your kids are going to thank you for it, okay? You're going to be the big hero in the house, okay, mom or dad? Children's Dental Fun Zone, go to their website, cdfzone.com. That's cdfzone.com, or call them at 800-717-KIDS. Call Children's Dental Fun Zone at 800-717-KIDS.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Oh, all
right,
yeah.
Cappy.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, pow.
Yeah.
Hey, Cappy, real quick.
Yeah.
I want to shout out somebody.
Who do you want to shout out?
Former Clipper radio broadcaster and now national sports superstar Noah Eagle. It was announced today by NBC he's going to be calling all the Olympic basketball for both men's and women's. So shout out to
good
my
for
guy
him.
Noah.
Good for that young guy. Happy for him. You know, it's funny, George. I just was on a call the other day with Ian Eagle. Humble brag, I guess. I don't know, name dropper, whatever you want to call me.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Ian. I was like, hey, man, I wanted to let the dust settle a little bit after the Final Four. But I said, I gotta call you and tell you, I gotta give you a compliment, you know. And he goes, okay, all right, what do you got? And I'm like, dude,
he's not good at those.
I know. I said, you know how much I love Jim Nance. You know that we're close, right? I said, and I guess another humble brag. I said, I said, but here's the best compliment I can give you, Ian.
Yeah.
I did not miss Jim Nance at the Final Four. Now, it's not intended to be an insult to Jim because Jim is the greatest. I love Jim, but the fact that Ian is so great as a play-by-play guy and is so great as a basketball play-by-play guy, he's been doing it 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, for him to slide right in, and he does it under the radar because Ian Eagle is not like other superstar play-by-play guys, you know?
Yeah.
He's just the consummate pro guy. Jim
well,
Nance
he worked
has,
his way to that point, right? He's right. It's the first time he's the number one, right?
Right. But Jim Nance has television commercials. He's a celebrity now. Jim's
right.
A celebrity, not just a TV guy. Al Michaels is an all-time legend. You know, Joe Buck has wanted to not just be play-by-play guy. He's wanted to be late-night TV talk show funny guy. You know, Ian's just consummate professional play-by-play guy.
And so funny. Funny.
He's hilarious, you know, because his father was a comedian. I don't know if
right,
you know
Right, no, I know. I know the whole story. Actually, yeah. Brian Curtis of The Ringer did, like, a really in-depth piece a couple weeks ago about Ian Eagle right before the tournament started. And it was great stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, just happy for Ian, obviously what he did. Happy for Noah. It's such a great story. Really cool. By the way, since you're sending out shout-outs, let me send one out too. Send a shout-out to an all-time great listener, George, of 710 and of The Circle and of Sedano and Cap. And this gentleman's name is Ernie Ortiz, George.
Oh, shout out
Ernie. Ortiz. And Ernie sent me a video today of his right arm. His arm is the arm of champions, George.
Okay.
He's got the Lakers tattoo with all the years that they've won championships. He's got a Dodgers tattoo with all the years that they've won championships. And now he's got the Rams. All of this, George, on his right arm, from his shoulder to his elbow, it is the arm of champions in Los Angeles. Shout out to my guy, Ernie Ortiz.
Shout out, Ernie Ortiz. No shout out for Greg Doyle because he's a weird creep. But if you don't know what we're talking about, Caitlin Clark was introduced for at her press conference in Indiana for the Indiana Fever. And Tyrese Halliburton was there. A bunch of people were there. It was a big event, obviously, for the people in Indianapolis. And Greg Doyle is a longtime sports writer, okay? And I first met his work many years ago when he was writing at CBSSports.com, and he was writing general columns there, left there, and he was just like a provocateur type, right? Like, he was kind of like Baylessian is the way I would describe it.
Baylessian.
Yeah. And and I say that, you know, because he wasn't as good as Skip in that sense. Like,
he was Lessian.
Yeah, it was just like Skip Light, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but trying really hard. Like, he tried to bait LeBron one time. I was at a press conference, I remember, years ago. That was kind of his thing. He's a provocateur, right? So, he's since leaving there many years ago, about a decade or so ago, he went to Indianapolis, and he became the lead columnist at the Indianapolis Star, the Bill Plaschke of Indianapolis, right? Let's just call him that. But not to compare the two, because Bill Plaschke is a legend, and there's no question about that. And I don't think, I don't know Greg Doyle personally. I just, whatever small interactions I've had have left a weird taste in my mouth. So I guess I'm not surprised that this weird interaction happened with him and Caitlin Clark. And it's funny because we live in a stage, right, Cappy, where would you say we live in a very polarizing time? Social media has kind of created much more polarization because you know what everybody thinks all the time. Is that fair to say?
Well, that and once you do something, whether it's good or bad, and especially if it's bad, the world pounces on you.
Well, okay, but nonetheless, I mean, I don't want to get into that. That is getting far into a tangent. But like, at a very basic level, we know what everybody thinks. Everybody's got a platform, so people fight more because we all know what everybody thinks every second of the day. Fair? Yes.
Fair.
Okay. So, because of that...
That sure is true for our show. That's one thing.
Yes. But because of that, I found it fascinating that literally people that never agree on anything, okay? Anything, okay? That are on the complete opposite ends of the spectrum, okay? On any subject, okay? Are agreeing on this, that Greg Doyle was a buffoon with Caitlin Clark. And if you didn't hear it, here is his interaction with her at her press conference.
Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
Stop. Let's start again. I need to explain what this is, okay? Yeah. He goes, do you like this? And if you've watched Caitlin Clark's games, she does the heart sign with her two hands, right?
Yeah,
like,
the
you know,
gesture,
you just do
right.
Like the heart symbol, mm-hmm. You know, and she does it after games. And she's always done it after every game. She does it to her family in the stands. So let's start again. So now that we have the context, that's my bad. I didn't remember that
Come
part.
Come on, George,
ahead,
do better.
It. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like
yeah,
that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game. So
okay, well,
cool.
Let's start doing it to me, and we'll be get along just fine. So, question is.
So the fact that everybody starts laughing at
right.
that moment, like yeah. nobody's like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, her coach was.
Well, the thing is this, like from my perspective, here's how I think about it. So my daughter is 22 years old and she's about to graduate from college in about 2 weeks. Okay. And I think to myself, if my daughter were on that stage and some guy who's old enough to be her father says something to her like that, which sounded so awkward, or as the younger people would say, DeAndre, follow me on this. Awk, yeah. Awk, okay?
Awk. Do young people say awk?
Yeah, yeah, we abbreviate awkward now to awk.
No, wait. Let's ask DeAndre as a young
he
person.
He don't know.
I don't know what he's talking about. We do not say awk.
No.
Yeah, I would say cringe.
No,
right?
Cringe is a
no,
yeah,
bro,
cringe
bro, listen to me. When you're 16, see, you're not 16. When you're 16, you say awk, Okay? All right? So it was super awkward, really weird. You know, if he would have said something like, hey, that's kind of a cute gesture, or hey, that's kind of a cool thing that you do. But in the way he said it, hey, girl, you do that heart thing to me, you and me, we going to be all right. It's like, yo, she's like 21 or 22. I don't even know how old Caitlin Clark is.
Yeah, that's
about
right.
She's a young girl, like my daughter's age. And listen, I don't know what his intentions were, because afterwards he sent out this tweet. Well, he
made an apology that made it worse.
He goes, in my uniquely oafish way, I tried to welcome her, blah, blah, blah. I made the hand sign. He goes, and afterwards, it was clumsy and awkward. I apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better. He pulled a do better on himself, George.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That was weird. But everybody just pounded this dude.
But, like, what you said, like, that you thought it was creepy and weird because she's young enough to be his daughter, right? But what is the difference between that and, like, things that you'd say about Cameron Brink? What's the difference?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
What did I say about Cameron Brink?
When you said she's hot and that you want her to wear that dress when she comes in studio.
Yeah, because she's beautiful and that dress was really good.
But it was also, you're talking about, like, you know, the implication of, like, the way that it was said and, like, the tone and the inflection. Doesn't that matter?
I don't know, Lindsay. Does it matter?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Like, what would you do if that were, like,
If my daughter were going to go onto a sports radio show and everybody was complimenting her, hey, you're an amazing basketball player, but you're also a really beautiful young lady, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Beautiful young lady, though, is different than saying that's hot.
You're a very good-looking person, but, like, you wouldn't probably say to her in person, hey, you're smoking hot.
I don't think that people would. And in that professional sitting situation, I don't think people would. Would you? I mean, would you guys? Probably not. I would think, right? No.
Yeah.
So what I said.
No, I am not
about
comparing
her,
you. I'm asking.
What do you mean you're not
difference?
Comparing me? You're blatantly saying
I'm asking
that
you
when
the difference.
I said the other day, hey, what she was wearing. By the way, I've heard you say many times about male athletes that they're very good looking. No, have I
sure,
not?
Sure, but I'm also not the one that's saying that what Greg Doyle. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that what you're proposing here, what Greg Doyle said, and the way that he said it was super creepy.
I'm not saying super creepy. I think he made a mistake. I think that Greg Doyle was trying to
be
cutesy.
No, I said he was creepy.
Yeah, I think he was trying to be cutesy by making the heart sign. He was saying, hey, I'm glad you're here, and let me show you the heart sign. He was saying, like, I'm a fan of what you do. And then at the end, he was like, well, if you do that to me, we'll be all good. It just came off wrong. You know, I don't know that his intention was to say, hey, you want to go grab a drink
no,
tonight?
No, I don't think he meant it like that way at all. And I think that he was, and I mean, the guy has said weird things before and creepy things before. And so he has like a track record of that.
I have no idea of his track record. I don't know much about the guy.
And I can understand how people, why it just comes off, just the whole thing is just gross and weird. However, I can understand being in that situation and being in that moment where you're like fumbling on your words and just being like, oh, yeah, I guess if you do that to me too, like, we'll be good. Like, because obviously he's going to be covering this team. He's going to see her a lot. And I think to your point, he was trying to be cute and funny and whatever. And it ended up coming out really gross and wrong and inappropriate.
Well, I think that the issue is that, again, and I've said this over and over again, Caitlin Clark brought me to women's basketball. I've never had interest in women's college basketball. I've never had interest in the WNBA. Caitlin Clark brought me to women's basketball. Caitlin Clark brought me, call it an average male sports fan in this country that follows the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, a little bit of hockey, some soccer. this is the first time I've ever been interested. So when I watched the WNBA draft, which was the very first WNBA draft I'd ever watched, just like the men who put on a fashion show, whether it's the NFL draft or the NBA draft, the women, world-class athletes, put on a fashion show. And because it was my first time ever watching this, I was like, wow, not only are these girls amazing ball players, these girls are also really beautiful. And if I use the word hot, and that's so offensive to everybody, I mean, really? Is it that bad to say that somebody's hot?
I don't think that that's the case, Cap. I think, for example, Clinton Yates actually had a really great Twitter thread, X thread, whatever, about this yesterday. Basically saying that, like, he said something. Okay, here, I'll pull it up. He said, a lot of men are not ready for the undeniable space that women are taking up in, like, this sports zeitgeist and pop culture, because it's kind of like it's a big, huge thing right now. Everyone's talking about women's sports between, you know, the NCAA tournament, now the WNBA draft, and then what's coming up with the games that are going to be starting. And to his point, he's saying they're dominating what's been always been like a male space, and a lot of men aren't, they don't, they're not comfortable, or they're not ready, or they don't know how to talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to have a lot of men who are sports media people who've never covered women's sports, now all of a sudden covering women's sports, you know? And these guys, I'm telling you right now, who are older dudes and oafish, to use this guy's word about himself, they probably don't really know what they're doing in that space. Going into an NFL locker room, bunch of dudes standing around butt naked, they're actually, believe it or not, they can handle it, okay? Going into dealing with women and trying to deal with women differently, instead of just saying they're ball players, I'm just treating them like ball players, it is going to be a an awakening for a lot of these dudes. I mean, I think.
I mean, because you're right. And I think just the way that people are talking about women's sports in general, it's like, I don't know, I guess it's more so like, why? For once, this is obviously a big deal that, like, you know, we're talking about it. It's the forefront of sports.
I think not to – we got to run here, unfortunately, because we're up against it. We're way past it, actually. But I guess the way I would say it, Cap, is not – and this isn't – I'm not directing this at you, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying in general, to Lindsay's point, I believe that that men – are not used to, because they're used to covering men mostly, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
That I think that the notion is to not treat the women like you would a man. You would never go to a press conference and do the thing that he did to a man if he was being introduced. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I do. If you're not going to say, hey, dude, hey, heart to you, bro. I really like when you do that heart thing, but I don't really know any dudes that do that thing.
No, but I'm saying, let's give it an example. Let's do an example. Like, let's just use a random example, okay? Let's say it's LeBron, okay? And LeBron is being introduced for the first time. And let's say LeBron does some sort of celebration thing that he did in high school or whatever. Like, they're not going to – you're not going to – and it's, like, a thing that he does that is, like, for his family. Like, you probably aren't getting that one in a press conference. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not – it just – it's the type of stuff that would have been asked – that would not have been asked to a man in that scenario. And I think that's the objection. You know what I'm saying?
But I think again, here's a guy who's probably a 60-something-year-old
male. He's not that old.
I don't know how old he is. But whatever he is, 50, 60, whatever it is.
Whatever.
Male columnist – who's now, for the first time in his career, dealing with a young female athlete. And in some ways...
who's a megastar right now.
Right. She is a megastar. I mean, a $20 million contract...
she's the biggest star on the planet right now.
$20 million contract with Nike. You know, incredible. You know, but again, I just... Lindsay, I don't really understand, like, this like notion that what I said about, and I don't even know I know who Caitlin Clark is. The other young lady that was drafted by the Sparks, I'll have to get to know her story. But I think a lot of people were looking at her that night and looking at her dress and looking at her at 6'4", looking like a runway model, like, whoa, what, she is not only apparently a great basketball player, that she's hot. And by the way, that dress was very, very attractive. You know, if you said that about an actress walking down a red carpet, are people offended by that?
Again, the people that are walking down the red carpet that are actors and actresses are not there because she's here because she's a great basketball player. And
but
like
she
started,
chose to dress in a way to show off how beautiful she is.
Right, but that doesn't mean that, like, again, like, I think the tone and the comments saying, oh, she's a beautiful woman, that looks great on her, that's like just like complimenting a guy on, like, wow, that suit looks great on him.
Is
that's
saying
completely
she's hot
different
not than, a compliment?
I don't think it's an appropriate compliment.
Why? What's wrong with it?
I just think that when you're trying in the professional world, it's like, would you go to somebody in the office and like a woman and say, hey, that you look hot in that? Like, that's
no,
hot
because
on you.
It's in the office and there are kind of guidelines in today's world. But when you don't know the person and you're watching them on TV, that's not acceptable.
I just think that if why would you treat her any differently than you treat any other woman in your life?
What do you mean any other woman in my life? I don't know her. She's on television. I'm looking at her and I'm looking at what she's wearing.
But we're talking about professionally speaking as far as working
what is unprofessional?
In sports radio.
Well, let's just do it this way. And this is not, I'm not trying to pile on you. I'm just saying, would you have said that a dude is hot?
Me? 1,000%. I don't do that now.
No, I'm not saying that you said that about Laura's boyfriend, but would you say it about a professional athlete?
1,000%. Go watch the NBA draft and be like, oh my God, that guy's hot. 1,000%.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if Cameron Brink heard you saying that about her, that she would be comfortable coming in studio for an interview on our show if she heard that?
You don't think she would be like, oh, that was pretty funny?
No,
I actually think that was funny.
Not.
I mean, well, everybody's sensibilities are different, so we don't know exactly.
Well, we know why Lindsay's sensibilities today are because it's me who said it.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
100%. This is a whole conversation.
100%.
To George's point, this is the one time where everybody is like on the same page about this.
Right.
And
but what you're doing is you're putting me in the same category as Greg Doyle because I said that what that girl was wearing was hot.
I'm simply asking you what's different.
Well, did I say it to her at a press conference, Lindsay?
You did not.
Okay,
that's
the difference.
What you said was different.
That's the difference.
My whole
point
that's
is the difference.
Generally speaking, the whole conversation about women's sports and how awesome the Final Four was, the championship game, how awesome the WNBA draft was, that stuff's great. Can we just celebrate the fact that like women's sports is cool and like it's here to stay?
We
have to like make it a sexualization thing?
Why is it sexualization to say that somebody's attractive?
Hot, it's not the word.
These women have chosen to dress in a way.
Oh, that's like saying that somebody asked for it because they're wearing a short skirt.
Nobody's saying asked for it.
Okay, time out real quick. I can understand. Again, Cappy, we started this conversation to begin the show, right? Like when we were talking about Lindsay blocking people and everybody's threshold is different. So some people may think that you're objectifying them. Some people may think it's funny, like you think. And everybody's sensibilities are going to be different on that I think the greater point here is.
Lindsay, do you know her sensibilities? Do you know her sense of humor? Do you know
personally,
her?
Personally, I don't. But my point is that why does that even need to be brought into the equation?
Lindsay, listen. These women are amazing basketball players. Guys like me never watched before. All of a sudden, we watch the WNBA draft for the first time ever, and we see that not only are these girls amazing basketball players, they're also beautiful. And by the way, they want you to see that. That's why they dressed up. It's why they did their hair. It's why they did their makeup, because they're going to be on TV. And by the way, part of the marketing of these young ladies is how beautiful they are. There's nothing wrong with that, but you think it's creepy because I'm 54 years old and I'm old enough to be their fathers. It's not that creepy to say that somebody's hot. If she were an actress, you'd have no problem with it. But because she's an athlete, you think I'm being unprofessional.
It's not.
I disagree.
That's not what I'm arguing. My point is that, again, can we just remove that from the equation? For once, can we just remove it from the equation and just talk about, like, celebrate women in sports? Why does it have to be about them being hot, you know?
Then you go on a personal tirade or a personal crusade is the better word. To make sure that no one ever mentions
somebody's
good looks. But remember this. The next time you tell me that a guy is good looking, I will bring this back up to you.
See, now that's what you got to do. You got to blanket it because you don't know what else to say.
I don't know what else to say. You've said it a million times. Different guys are good looking.
Right,
but again, I will feel very offended by that objective.
Well, but I also think, look.
This wouldn't be a topic if the Caitlin Clark thing didn't happen.
Can I throw in my sense of sensibilities here? I wouldn't call her hot. Like, I wouldn't. Like, because that's just my line. You know what I mean? Good looking is, it just sounds different to me when it comes out of someone's mouth. That's me, Cappy. You're you, dude. I don't care. You do what you do. If you're comfortable with it, that's cool. But I could understand where some, again, it's everybody's threshold is a little different on this stuff. You know what I mean?
And also, Cap, you're comparing apples to oranges. The context is completely different. This context is what I was asking you, her saying what Greg Doyle said in that press conference setting, and then you making a comment about, you know, a woman being hot when she's at the WNBA draft. Like, my question is, like, what is different? And you said it's because you're not in a press conference and you don't find the word hot offensive. And to George's point, people have different thresholds. There's other situations where I'm talking about people's looks and whether or not someone is hot, like, you know, Channing Tatum or whoever. That's not me, like, you know, I'm allowed to have an opinion on whether somebody is good looking. I'm specifically talking about where this conversation is today on April 18th, 2024, about women in sports and how, for once, this is like the coolest thing going on ever in women's sports. But yet there's still dudes that are saying things like, oh, well, she's hot. And it's just like, can we just not do that for once and like talk about the other really good stuff and just put that aside? Like, can we do that?
Okay, so we can say she's good looking, but we can't say she's hot.
Again.
Or should we not even be able to say that she's good looking?
Again.
I mean, again, I don't think, like, I think that that's.
You said tone and stuff, it matters, right?
I didn't say any of that.
I mean, look. If
again,
no, I didn't.
Okay, I mean, listen. All right, look. I think, Cappy, I think that, again, everyone's going to have a different perspective on this. I don't think that, but I do think that, you know, it does sound like you have to understand kind of the world today is a little different. And I think that particularly it feels like, you know, that it feels like, and I'm not talking about you, I'm back to Doyle, okay? The reason I think people objected to it, male and female, including yourself, is because it sounded like he not only was creepy and weird, but kind of almost objectified her a little bit. Is that a fair assessment on Doyle?
I think that people were creeped out because of the way it sounded. It was like, hey, girl, what are you doing later? That's why I think people were creeped out.
Right. Exactly. So I do think that tone, those lines are blurry, is I think Lindsay's point. And that I think that's some just stuff that men have to understand, that those lines are blurry now. Like, you can't. You know, you have to be careful, rightfully so, to the way you speak about people in general, male or women. Like, I think that there are things that people, particularly in this format, right? Let's take women out of it for a second. In this format, I think there were times, and you know this, Cap, because you know, you've been in this longer than me, where people would say crazy stuff on the radio about athletes. Like, call them out of their name, crazy stuff, back in the day. And you can't. You do that now, you're going to get it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about the fans. Like, the athlete's going to find out and be like, yo, like, I know what you're saying about me. You know what I mean? Like, so what I'm saying is that you just have to be cognizant of how you speak to people or about people, because we live in a world that's a lot more connected now, and you wouldn't want, to your point, right, someone to say whatever it was Doyle said to Caitlin Clark and would do that to your daughter. I think Lindsay's point is, you know, you should think about that in the grand scheme of it all, not just in this particular silo with Doyle and Caitlin Clark. Is that a fair way to describe it, Lindsay?
I think Lindsay's point was that nobody should be talking about the way these women look, because they should be celebrated purely as athletes.
I don't agree with that.
That's not what I said.
I don't agree with that.
Again,
well, that's what I heard.
Well, that's what you heard.
Well, I don't think that's what she's saying, though. And you can speak for yourself.
Like, guys,
listen,
like,
we got a break, though. DeAndre's literally sweating bullets.
Are you DeAndre?
He's like Stryker. I mean, this is going to be an old-timey reference that only Cappy's going to get. But he's like Stryker in Airplane, where he's like literally sweating bullets because we are 50 minutes past the hour and we have not taken a break. Like, seriously.
Hit the
we
break, gone, DeAndre. Come on.
You got to do that.
We have taken one break in 50 minutes. 51 minutes, okay? So, Cappy, we can continue this discussion.
I think the discussion is good.
Okay, fine. Then we don't have to continue the discussion. But the point is, DeAndre's like Stryker in Airplane. And if you don't know what that is, just put it in your GIF, okay? In Twitter or wherever your phone is, okay? And you'll know, it'll be the guy sweating in a cockpit, and like in the movie Airplane.
I don't think you can say that anymore.
That is DeAndre right now. So, Cappy, talk about Avner Gad. Hello!
All right, let me tell you about Avner Gad. He called me this morning. Avner Gatt had so much fun coming in on the radio show the other day that now Avner Gatt has ideas for the radio show. And I got to be honest with you, George, when I discuss this with you off air, I think you're going to be really impressed with Avner Gatt's concept for a bit on the show. I think you're going to love it. Avner, we appreciate you not just listening. We appreciate you coming in. We love all the gifts that you brought everybody. And we really appreciate how you help all of our listeners out there, because I'm telling you right now, Avner said it the other day, don't even call your homeowner's insurance. If there's an emergency in your house, a broken pipe, a toilet overflow, if there's major damage to your house, you call Avner Gatt first. Don't even call your homeowner's insurance company and then negotiate with them and then call Avner to come clean up the mess. No, call Avner Gatt first so that he can handle the homeowner's insurance company. You pay these people every month. If you have an emergency, they need to fix it. And if they can't do it or won't do it, you shouldn't have to negotiate with them. Avner Gatt will take care of all of this because that's what he does. He's a public insurance adjuster who's looking out for you. So call him now. 818-917-5256. 818-917-5256. Go to AvnerGatt.com. And when you call that number, Avner's answering the phone himself. Hello!
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Tonight Show Conan O'Brien theme because it's his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien's got a new show I saw where he's like traveling the world and doing Conan O'Brien things.
That's
how
awesome.
Old is Conan O'Brien?
60, I believe, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Today. Yeah.
I remember I used to love Conan O'Brien when he did the late night show after the Tonight Show. Because he was doing, like, goofy, silly stuff in the middle of the night.
Of all the
kind of like David Letterman used to do many, many years ago to a generation before me.
Yes.
He popped up yesterday on my YouTube feed, and he was doing an interview with Larry David. And and he had two co-hosts on a podcast who neither of the two co-hosts said anything. I was like, that's a great job. You know?
Where can I sign up for that?
Right. Like, I mean, like, for example, like, I could have done what Klay Thompson did the other night for the Warriors. I could have gone 0-10, no problem. And I don't mean to knock Clay, but that's...
Too soon.
No, but it's a reality. Like, I could strike out four times in a Major League Baseball game. How do I get that job?
I got me.
I could sit next to Conan O'Brien and not say anything.
Take it away, Linz.
All right, so we're just going to do one really quick here. NBA scouts apparently...
And we're going to talk to Blake next, right?
Yes. We'll call Blake after we do Radio Tinder and then take a quick break. So NBA scouts apparently believe that USC didn't play Bronny James at his best position when he spent last season with the Trojans. And Brian Windhorst talked about that when he appeared on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. So here is what he said.
When I talk to scouts about Bronny, they don't think that he was able to put his best foot forward this year because USC didn't play him in his position. They had several different guard prospects that were, you know, NBA draft prospects, and he played sort of on the wing. They say he should play point guard, which is where he played and excelled when he was in high school. And he obviously had that terrible health event that happened last summer, and he was expected to go right into playing Pac-12 basketball with no real buildup. So what the scouts are saying to me is that they've got to he should go play someplace where he can show that he can be a point guard and he can build up his skills. And that may not be USC.
Duquesne so that's will let him pat the ball.
He'll
be Jalen Brunson dribbling. He'll have the stats at Duquesne.
I would love it. You're talking to somebody who went to the Duquesne games at the NCAA tournament to support Drew Joyce and Keith Dambra and the Dukes.
Hell yeah.
And I would love nothing more. Yeah. Than to see him play at Duquesne. I think it'd be great for him to play in the A-10. My guess is he'll want to play closer to home. But the NBA scouts that I'm seeing, like you see a lot of people who just put him down and say he's not an NBA player, or he's not ready.
Okay,
that's not what the people that I talk to are saying. Saying they didn't get to see him play his real position this year, so they want to see him.
So do you guys agree with Brian Windhorst? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, it's not his opinion. He says that what NBA scouts have told him.
Right. You agree with the scouts.
Just to be clear on that. Here's what I would tell you. I have not talked to any NBA scouts about Bronny, but I will. How about that? I will do that. I'll do some homework myself. I have talked to a couple of college coaches, though, about Bronny, and they did not feel that he was a point guard. Perhaps even – and I did not talk to his head coach, Andy Enfield, but I talked to other coaches during the who may have recruited him. And not I'm not talking about head coaches, but, like, you know, there was a lot of schools obviously interested in him. And I feel like the prevailing conversation was they didn't believe that he was a point guard. So I think based on his size, it may be what he has to be to get to the next level. And I think that's what Brian's point was, or at least the scouts' points were to Brian, that if he's going to play in the NBA, it's going to have to be as a point guard. So they'd like to see him play that position to then see what his actual skill set truly is.
Yeah, I'm not really so sure about this whole story about, you know, he didn't play his natural position. Let me explain to you. If his natural position is point guard, and if what Windhorst said is right, which is that scouts are telling him that the reason he didn't play point guard is because, guess what? There were some NBA caliber players in front of him. Well, that just kind of gives you an idea, doesn't it? That these other kids are better players at this time. Okay? So that's the first part. But I agree with McAfee, and I've been saying it for a while, that if his brother is already committed to go play at Duquesne, where LeBron's, was it his high school coach, George, is now the head?
His original high school coach, the guy, right. His freshman and sophomore year, Coach Dambro, who took Duquesne and had that first round upset, yes.
So he's
no longer there. He's left to another job.
Oh, where'd he go?
But Drew Joyce, who was his lead assistant.
Okay.
Was LeBron's high school teammate, and Drew Joyce's father, Drew Joyce Sr., was LeBron's high school coach as well for the last 2 years.
All right. Well, my point is this. Bronny should go someplace. Duquesne is a good example because it's a smaller school, lower level, and they would love to have the publicity. And by bringing the publicity.
Yeah, it's A-10, Atlantic right. 10.
But right. What he would do is by
but
bringing.
But it's still Division One. So yeah. It's not really like a lower level per se.
No. But it's a mid-major. How about
right.
that?
Correct.
But what they would do is by getting the publicity that Bronny would bring, they would then trade that publicity for what position do you want to play? How can we help cultivate you? And oh, by the way, this is LeBron's people essentially looking after his kid. I think Duquesne's a great place for him, especially because the little brother's already committed there. I don't know that he's going to definitely get there.
Yeah.
But I don't really know yet if what – listen, I'm not doubting that what Windhorst heard was right. I'm doubting what the scouts were telling him. That's what I'm doubting.
All right. That is Radio Tinder, brought to you each and every day by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. All right, Cappy, before we get to Blake, tell him about Prize Picks for tonight.
Well, you know, George, I got to tell you something, man. I've been looking at Prize Picks, and I've been ice cold. And so yesterday, I said to everybody on the air, I said, would you guys do me a favor? Would you send me your Prize Picks? And everybody did, and I really appreciate that. The only problem is that you guys were kind of cold, too. So, George, listen to what I've done here. Because now Prize Picks, if you go on and you look into the NBA section, there are certain players that have stars behind their headshot. And when they have the stars, then all of a sudden, you're even playing for more. Now, they've got Jokic against the Lakers on Saturday to score half a point. Do you suppose Jokic is going to score more than half a point? Okay, that's rhetorical, but not really. The answer is yes. Of course he's going to score more than half a point. Here's what I've done. DeMar DeRozan for more than 27.5. CJ McCollum for more than 27.5. De'Aaron Fox, more than 27.5. Then I put it together with an F1 driver named Sergio Perez for 3.0 starting position, and I put it together with my dart thrower, Luke Littler, to have more than 3.5 180s, and he scored 4 for me today. Those are my picks. Make sure you download the Prize Picks app. Use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100, and let's play together. Me, you, and 3 million other people all over the place that are playing Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app, use my code Cappy, make that deposit, and then share your picks with me on Twitter on Prize Picks.